In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Who's up to here? Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, and welcome to another TFYLP. This is episode 108. I'm Megamus, your host, and with me today is Brycey.
Hey.
Proto Man.
How you doing?
Headmaster Don.
Evening, everybody.
And back from hiatus, Sideburn 2.
What's up, everybody?
Oh, so tonight we're going to talk about, we're going to finish up on BotCon, some of the other things that happened maybe, you know, before BotCon, like the room-to-room trading, some etiquette in that, and, you know, we'll see what else we can get in, we can fit in tonight. So, what are your guys' thoughts on the room-to-room trading?
It's good.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. Next topic.
Coming from the man of a thousand words. It's good. All right, and that'll wrap up the show for tonight. And
yeah. Good night, everybody.
That gives you a chance to actually meet people more so than behind a dealer table. Just sit and hang out. Have a beer.
I find it's also better prices because it's not a person with a dealer table, so they're not already a certain amount of money in the hole.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you know that's not always true. That's
well, there's exceptions to this rule with people in this room, but anyways, in general. And I find also probably some of the best deals you'll get will probably come from the parts parties and dealer and the room-to-room trading stuff more so than the dealer room. I think the dealer room is – if you're looking for your big ticket item, you're probably going to find it there. But you're not going to find your $5 rat traps or like $30 BBTS Preda, you know, Preda.
Well, right. I've noticed that when you do find that, it's usually the one guy that bought a table to get rid of his collection or to downside or whatever. Not a dealer's per se, but just someone that wants to get rid of some extra stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the guy that you'll find, you know, rock bottom deals and all that, like you're talking about. But yeah, the room-to-room trading, while the prices in our case are the same. I mean, we go as low as we can, and as I said before, we'll do it on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We don't wait till Sunday. They're all the same prices. You know, if you think you can get it cheaper on a Sunday, you probably could have got it cheaper on the Friday. But the big thing I noticed is it's a lot more laid back. People get to talk. Hang out, chill. If you want to drink, you drink. If you just want to sit and BS, and that's when you can have your – and I've seen hour-long conversation on why animated is better than G1 or vice versa. Or back in my day, you know, we didn't have them there movie thingies and all that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and also one thing about the room-to-room trading there are, with there being so many stores now that come to BotCon and have the room versus the table down there, and with the advent of third party working with a lot of these stores, you actually see a lot of the third party stuff that in the past has not been allowed, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And also, you get to see these figures, prototypes. You get to see the level of completion. Several years ago, Captured Prey had the Hearts of Steel Shockwave, or Cyclops. Mm. That was a close to a final production model, and it was nice to see that in person and get an idea of the size and the detailing on it. So that's something else with the advent of third party, is you're going to see stuff in person that you would not see on the dealer's room floor because of the nature of the business.
Right, but... Well, We've been doing the parts party since 2000, and you're right. We were the only ones really doing it in that big of, you know, an extravagant room sale. And a couple other people have jumped on board and tried to do the same thing. And, you know, some are successful and some people do it once and then they're done. But we like it because it's become a staple of BotCon to where people expect it. They expect us to be there and expect us to have something to do that for those that don't want to go to the panels or whatever, or don't want to do what BotCon has to offer. And it's just something extra. When they did the big ban, it was Captured Prey that decided to do their third party party. And then it was just a way to get people their third party fix that wasn't allowed in the dealer room. And he's continuing that this year. Both he and I are doing room sales, and we're going to try and get them on the same floor so that we can, that you don't have to keep running around. We'll be close and, you know, we're trying to offer something that people can do when there's nothing else being offered by BotCon, or like I said, they don't like what they're being offered. So
it's everyone's fix before the dealer room opens up. Like that's, you know, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, if someone's on a Tuesday, I don't know who would be there on Tuesday, but
Oh.
But if you're there on Tuesday and you want to buy some toys because it's burning a hole in your wallet, that's where you go. Because to my knowledge, I think our private dealer room experience, as they call it, is Friday.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's just it. It gives you your opportunity to burn all your money before the weekend even starts.
Which is a good thing. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, it's not.
It's
not
for you, yes.
Yeah.
Someone's got to buy a Mint in Box Ryden before the weekend's over. He needs that.
That's right. No, it's, you know, it's become a something that I've enjoyed doing since 2000, and I've had a lot of people, you know, even if I don't post that we're going to do it, people have, you know, contacted us. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Well, yeah, we're going to do it. And, you know, because people get the great deals. And the other thing is people that want to get rid of some stuff that don't want, you know, they've only got like a box of stuff and they don't want to pay, I don't know, 150, whatever their tables are for a table. They don't want to pay that. So they come to the room-to-room trading and sell their stuff there. And this is just one thing that I've always done. We only have one rule. If you're bringing something into trade, let me look at it first. Because it might be something that I want. And if it's not, then, you know, have at it. And sell your stuff there and just enjoy it. And then you got more money for the con. Now, is anyone else who all have gone to the room-to-room trading other than myself? And I know that Proto Man has. Don?
Yep.
And Bryce?
Yeah.
So the odd man out is Sideburn, right?
Yeah. I've been to one BotCon, and that was on Saturday because that's when the public was allowed to come to BotCon.
Oh, look who finally showed up.
Tobias woke up!
Hello!
Oh, I forgot. What is it, like 2 in the morning or something?
It's nearly 3 in the morning here.
I was close. That was a total guess.
Yeah.
So close without going over.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for being late.
He probably just went out to the Waffle House and grabbed something before getting online.
I don't know. Do you guys even have a Waffle House?
Yeah, we do have a Waffle House, but it's not like a food chain or something. It's just a Waffle House.
Does it have like grease all over the walls? Is it like real slimy? Everything's just greasy and there's grease all over the walls. At one time it was white, but now it's yellow.
No,
come on. I mean, let's be honest. Who hasn't been to a Waffle House that did not look like that?
I've been to some very clean ones.
I thought you were saying who hasn't been to a Waffle House, and I was going to raise my hand.
They're always yellow. Okay.
It's okay. There's no IHOPs in Canada, but when I go to them, you know what's hilarious? First time I'm in IHOP, I look at my pancakes, and I'm like, wow, they put a scoop of ice cream on it, and I put that whole scoop in my mouth, and I only learned it was butter after.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was, like, vanilla ice cream. Oh,
you got to remember, us Americans, we like our fat. We get fat the old-fashioned way. We eat a lot.
Learn the hard way.
Surprise.
Tobias, we were talking about BotCon and room-to-room trading. Have you gone to one of those?
I never have gone to one of those, but I'm looking forward to it, as we mentioned before. So.
Good, good.
What
well,
are,
like I said...
What are these room-to-room tradings?
What's that?
What are they all about?
Well, that's what we were talking about. It basically is just a place when the dealer room is closed where you can come hang out, you can talk, buy, sell, trade, you know, do all that stuff. And anyone's allowed. Sometimes there's some alcoholic drinks and stuff like that. So underage kids probably, you know, need to have a, you hate to say it, but a chaperone would only get in trouble. And the only other thing is just, you know, be mindful of the noise because it, you know, we are in, you know, hotel rooms. So the people next to you might be sleeping, especially with as late as these go from time to time.
Yeah.
But you're going to find that there's some good deals and you're going to see a lot of stuff that just doesn't make it to the dealer's room, you know, with people bringing their stuff in. And, you know, sometimes we've had specials and this year, every day we're there, we're going to bring out different products and stuff with our lowest prices so that you might come there on a, you know, on Tuesday and then Wednesday you see something you didn't see on Tuesday. So it's just kind of a trying to keep you to come back just so you don't come once and, you know, keep coming back always. So
Sounds good.
Now, hey, Dan, what can you think of in terms of room-to-room trading? And I'll even go one further because I can think one off the top of my head. Activities, after-hour activities of past BotCons. Can you think of any?
It really depends on the locations because, like, the one unfortunate thing about Pasadena, it kind of has a crappy bar. Like, it's not a very good it's not a very good place to socially congregate. Where some past BotCons had really good. I don't always say that Texas was the best BotCon at all, but man, was that a big bar. That was a big bar.
You would get me at the best. I think it was the best.
Oh really?
When
okay.
When you had the hotel, you had free breakfast, you had free hors d'oeuvres, free beer, free mixed drinks. All of it was free. They had a huge lounge where everyone could just come and hang out.
That was the big benefit was just – but in the case of Pasadena, because the bar is small, but it's an amazing proximity of all those restaurants and everything that are literally just right outside your hotel room. The after-hour stuff, there's the – you know, the sky's the limit. A whole bunch of people gather and, you know, they just go out and grab a bite or hit the parts parties or – try to cramp their way into that small bar and break the ice with people there. But there's a lot to do. And there's even, for the crazy people that want to go shopping, there's a Target about two blocks away from there, too, on top of that. So.
And there's a really awesome IHOP.
And there's an IHOP, yeah, there's that too. IHOP.
Yeah,
well, I'm very familiar with Pasadena because it's come back there a lot of times. So I'm
familiar
with the area now at this point.
Right. But some of the things that I think are funny is I remember the one year we were in the bar and there was quite a bit of us and security told us that we had to either go somewhere else or calm down or whatever. And they said, well, just go outside. So we were like, okay, well, if you remember the hotel, it's got a big circle in the front of the hotel. That's where you drop everyone off and everything. So we all kind of congregated out there and proceeded to fill that whole area. And we were out there for, you know, half hour, 45 minutes or so. And all of a sudden the police came up, told us to go back inside. So we all went back inside and security guard told us to go outside. And we said, well, you know, he kind of trumps you. So it's kind of fun things. We do get loud, but you're going to, oh my God! You're gonna get to interact with so many people. And that brings up another point, which I've harped about for years, is don't be afraid to introduce yourself and talk to each other. Everyone's got, you know, we may not have the exact same likes, but evidently we all like Transformers. So exactly. There you go. That's your start. Start talking about that. Exactly.
Wait, this is the Transformers. I thought this was the GoBot podcast.
Oh, that's one room over. That's one room over.
No, this is MLP for your listening for your listening pleasure.
Oh, I'm not even going to go into that with the furries and everything else. So we're not even going to talk about that.
All right.
But no, you know, just, you know, don't be so. You hate to say it. Don't be antisocial. Be social. You, like he said, you know, there's your icebreaker. Start talking about Transformers and just go on from there.
Well, that's the one thing you're guaranteed. That's the one thing you're guaranteed is that every single stranger there. Imagine in your mind you're near in a line to get you pick up your packages and you're surrounded by like 1,000 people. Every single person there knows what Optimus Prime, Megatron, Starscream, Devastator, knows what that is, you know?
Exactly.
They all know that. So even if you have the most fleeting knowledge of Transformers, you're still in luck because everyone else does too, at least.
Well, and here's the funny part, I guarantee this will work 100% of the time. If you want to start up any conversation while you're at BotCon, just start it out like this. G1 is the best because. Just say that. And you're either going to have a lot of, you know, these people are going to agree with you or they're not going to agree. But you're going to start up a really, really good conversation. I guarantee it.
My brain, when you started saying that sentence, my brain went to G1 sucks because.
I would have rolled my eyes and walked away. I'll admit
no,
that. Right?
No, because then you would have said no, animated, and then there you go. You got your conversation. You're gone. You're going. You know, and unfortunately, you know, part
I'm
of me
just joking,
really
guys.
Should be on the losing end of the conversation, but that's okay. You know, I understand.
I'm just joking, guys. I've watched all of G1. It's not bad.
Oh, well,
we're glad that
it kept you amused.
There's a blur for the back of the box. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not bad.
See, the thing is it's not Beast Wars.
Yeah, because it's
toys
not
were
great number
one. When they were metal. Remember, guys? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Titanium.
Yeah. We gave the G1ers what they wanted. That shut them up so fast.
Look at the bad designs. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started.
Blame Don Figueroa and Micro Machines.
Well, they had to get the metal from somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
Little cars. Sorry.
Now, I'll admit that the Titanium were not the best. But I believe there were if they had given them to an actual the Hasbro people to do versus the Galoob Micro Machine people, I think we would have had a better product just from experience.
I think they failed because they did a Titanium line with Micro Machines and there was no blur. Think about that.
Oh, yeah. Cross promotion.
Think about that.
That's right.
I'm now imagining John Machida doing
the commercial.
And he keeps he keeps speeding up as like, and then he slows down because he catches himself. It's
awesome.
I would love for him to come back to BotCon. That would be great. Him to come back to BotCon.
I'm hoping.
Has he been to one?
Yeah.
What was it? It was 97?
That was before my time. Wow.
So, yeah, it was one of the thing is I'm convinced, and we've had it in the past with the Pasadena shows, just because of location, there's going to be surprise guests. There's going to be like last time we were in Pasadena, there was no announcement that we were going to have like the entire Prime cast there. We didn't know that, Kevin Michael Richardson, whatever his name was, and the chick who played Miko and the kid who played Raph and the chick who played Jack's mom, June. Like, we didn't know. And Steve
Marky Post.
Yeah, we didn't know that any of those were going to be. Those weren't announced. Those were just like, oh, hey, if you go over here, the whole cast is there signing autographs and free lithographs and everything signed with them, which was pretty cool. So I'm kind of hoping that we're going to have something like that again. It was the same thing with 2009. where Tyrese came. Tyrese just showed up. Yeah, you know, like he was just like, oh, hey, guy, you know. So.
Yeah, yeah, but see, you say that, but see, my highlight was Weird Al.
Oh, well,
yeah, that, that was the best.
But, see, but that's the one good thing about Pasadena, because you're just the backyard of all of that. There's no excuse for like, oh, these people are too far away. A lot of these people are in close proximity. So any rabbit could be pulled out of the hat, you know, anything. So that's what's really cool. It could be it could be Steven Spielberg. I know that sounds crazy, but it could even be that much.
Right,
it
right.
Might be possible just due to proximity.
Right? Yeah, so but like, as long as
out of town.
As long as they're not already doing another convention, right?
Yeah, like a certain leader.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's going to happen, but
I'm just saying, if you're in Texas that weekend, you might be really happy. You know?
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. So I'm not sure. Yeah. But that's all you could think of. You didn't think of all the extra little add-ons thing where Tyrese showed up. The I mean, everything they went through on that one. That one was amazing. I actually enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah.
That was Saturday night, wasn't it?
That was Saturday.
Yeah.
That was the what did they label it? They gave it a weird name.
It wasn't the meet. It was like Universal something. That's right.
Yeah, it was like the Universal. Like you got in the fucking bus, and there was the booze, and then they gave the booze, and it's like, oh hey, we're all gonna look at some clips from the new movie, and then it's like, but you have to get rid of your booze, and everyone already bought drinks, and they're all like, oh, so they had to down their drinks right away because you weren't allowed to bring it into the theater. Like it was cool though. It was cool.
I that was one of my favorites. I did like that. And I always liked the casino nights. I like the casino nights.
Is that going to happen again? Because the thing is, I'm looking at the schedule and there's
even got time for it?
Well, I don't know, because it's like, do I bring a suit? For like every year I brought a suit. Now I'm kind of like, is this the year that I don't bring a suit? Is this the year that there's going to be no casino night? Is there going to be some kind of free formal dinner? Because that would really suck if that's missing too.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't. I'm looking now.
That's something that has been like, there's always been some kind of group meal and that's been like a staple in BotCon since like the Hartman and Hallett days, you know, like that's always been something that's a staple. And for that to like be gone completely would be crazy. I don't know. I'm looking at the schedule and there's no mention of it. So I'm just like, that's going to be really sucky. Cause like Saturday night's going to be kind of dry then if there's no casino night, you know, like, I mean,
but I know where you can go and do something.
Well, there's plenty of places, yeah, but I understand that. But it's like, you know, cause I know like Brian Savage's wife, she used to run the bingo cause she really likes doing that. So she used to do the bingo thing and Lord knows the bingo is completely like, it completely functions because of all the leftover exclusives. And last year and the year before that, there was plenty of leftover exclusives. So they'd have plenty of prizes to give out. So,
and well, that's a golden ticket reception.
Well, there's that, but who's
going to
say $400? I might as well just go get it.
I thought they had something like right after that? After they did the reception for the golden ticket that they had our dinner?
Well, the Texas year when they did the golden ticket thing, it was like a cocktail party with the voice actors, and I think everyone got autographs from them or something, and I think that was really it. So it's like, yeah, hey, you're gonna like eat and get drunk around Peter Cullen, okay, sure, and then get his autograph. I loved you in Never Ending Story. You know, it's like,
well, now they're gonna get up there and go, well, I loved you as Magnum PI. You were great.
You know, it's like,
did you suck Higgins? Man, I couldn't stand him.
You know, but that's just it. So like that was kind of, I heard from people that went to that. They were like, it was kind of awkward. It was like, it was just kind of, it's kind of like a school dance with like a whole bunch of like socially awkward people. It's like the voice actors were one side of the room, the fans were on the other. They're just kind of like,
kind of like the girls are on one side, yeah, the guys on the other. Like, they dance with themselves.
The guys are nudging each other. Just go talk to David Kay. It'll be okay.
I'm not going
to
do it. You do it.
You do it. You do it. Yeah. Ask him to dance. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I heard it was very weird. But I mean, hey, you get the first three rows of all the panels, so you get front row seat for that, you know, while everyone behind you is sneering and judging you.
That's right. Do you know how much he paid? My God.
Yeah. $400 so he could be this close to the screen when they reveal that we're getting a Masterpiece Rekkar.
Yeah, but you get one of these. You get a special one of these things.
Oh,
though.
You do? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you get a special one of those, and that's so worth $300. Yes.
Now, first day pin.
Excuse me, but have you talked about the golden ticket earlier before I chose?
Nope. You didn't miss a thing.
I don't know if I know what it is, but do all our listeners know what the golden ticket is?
Well, go ahead and tell them. We're making fun of it, but you know, you're right. We're just assuming. Like, don't you know? Go ahead.
The thought just occurred to me. Well, the deal is that you pay twice as much as the Primus package, and you get a lot of what do you call them?
Yeah, you can get up to three sets of exclusives instead of just the one. Initially,
because we all know, I'm not even gonna. You know what? If it was 2011 or 2006 or 2007, okay. This set is a lot like last year's, where there's some really good, and then there's some really, you know, like there's some really like last year we had those Beast Machine molds, which were like the hot ticket items. This year, everyone's gonna want that Scorponok, the DevCon, and then everything else is kind of. So that right away, hey, you could buy three. But the funny thing is, even with the club store, last year they didn't put a limit on purchases either. They were just kind of like, I think it was like you could buy two, and this was non-golden ticket.
Yes. Well, no, the first day that you pick up or that the club store is open, you can get one. You can only get one. But then on Friday, I think they change it, and then Saturday it's like an all you can buy.
Was it? Yeah. You can only get one. Yeah. I have this vague memory of picking up two Seeker sets. I don't know why. From last year.
I'm almost positive that you could only get one set.
Because I'm a lazy bum. I usually sleep in the following morning, and I didn't line up for that, and that's
well. I mean, I remember the ones with the Rainmakers.
Yeah, the Road Seeker set. Yeah,
those didn't sell out until late Saturday.
Okay, because that was the only one that I was like, I gotta flip that. That's gonna be my
right, yeah. Right. And that one, I think was the only one that sold.
It was the only one that sold out.
Out, yeah, but it did. It did take until like Saturday. There was one year, and I'm trying to remember which one it was. It might have been the Junkions that sold out Friday.
The Shatterglass Junkions. I don't think – which one was the first ones that sold out? Because I know what you're talking about. That's 2000
– I don't remember what
2012.
Year it was. But it was like no one believed it. I mean, just – they sold out by Friday. Saturday when the people
actually,
that came in couldn't even get it.
It was one of the pair sets, the one that had the Shattered Glass version 2 Optimus. That one sold out first, and then it was the Junkions. I remember that because they put that sticker on it and sold out, you know, over their little display of stuff. Because that was the hot ticket item. And true story with that one, a lot of people don't know that Optimus was actually originally supposed to be the free figure, but then they changed it because they were like, well, "What are we doing, man? That's the one that people are going to want to pay money for," you know. So then they gave us the Bard of Darkmount.
Oh yeah,
ooh. The glorious Bard of Darkmount. What a figure! I was so excited to get that one.
So,
Tobias,
go ahead.
You ever heard an in joke that you don't get because you weren't in on it? That's exactly what that exclusive was. That was like that was a joke among like four people that just didn't get it.
Yeah. But you were saying, Tobias?
Yeah, I was saying. So you get to buy a lot of stuff for a golden ticket, and you also have to attend some reception, especially for golden ticket holders. And is that about it?
Well, you get special seating on the panels.
Yeah.
You get the – like I said, you get a pin. It's a special – basically, they got their own special pickup. But they, I think the first day pin, I think that's what they generally use, and it's just gold. And
it's gold rimmed instead of silver.
Yeah. So I mean, that one's neat. I mean, I try and collect all the pins, and of course I don't have the gold pins, but to me that's an extra incentive. I mean, I don't know if it's worth that much, but it's an extra incentive. So I mean, you add it all together and not having to wait in lines as long. I do know a few people that they buy it. They think it's worth it.
Now, unless you're needing a lot of sets, I mean, that is good, I guess, for some people. Like, say, for example, Tobias. If he has a lot of friends locally who need those sets, getting the golden ticket and having them help pay for part of the golden ticket increase would be good, because that way they get their sets without having to fight the secondary market or buying an icon set if they don't need the box and everything else. So in some cases, that's actually very beneficial. It's just, you know, sometimes it's not.
Right, but I mean, I know one person in particular who buys the golden ticket and has ever since it came out, who doesn't buy any extras, but does it because he literally can't stand staying in the lines. And the golden tickets give you your special time where, I mean, he'll be in and out before we're even halfway through.
And especially the Pasadena years, I think those are the years where the line is really crazy. I think those are the years where it's the most nuts, where, I mean, credit card issues aside that happened in Texas, most of the time the lines were not too long away. Even last year in San Diego, it was a pretty quick pickup. It wasn't too bad. Granted, I cut in line, so I'm not a good person when it comes to
that. Oh, you're one of those guys.
I'm the – you know what I do? I go up the line, and I find that one guy. Hey, yo, I'm going to stand here. Yes. That's what happens. Use your profile. It's like, hey, okay, yeah. Oh, hey, you're in front of me. I'm just going to chill here with you.
Until you see the guy that's even further up, you know him. I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. There. Behind that guy. And you never saw Proto Man ever again. Yeah, but
now Pasadena had another problem. I thought they had a problem where the had something to do with the fire marshal, because they had a line inside.
Yeah,
and they moved them all outside.
Yeah, what happened was the line, they told us to line up in a certain way. The fire marshal came in and directed everybody that was at the other end of the line, which would have been the late arriving people, directed them to stand in a format that made them first in line.
Sweet.
So the people that had been there for 2 to 3 hours waiting in line were now suddenly having to fight people who had just walked up before the fire marshal came up. So the fire marshal was in his job, but he didn't either know or care that there's an order of operations here, and you just screwed it up. So.
And then you have the guy who wears all those BotCon the platforms. Whatever your name is, I see you every day.
I know he is a he. I only see him once a year, but he's always happy to see me. I mean, I've known him for years through BotCon, and it's like the man is like constantly he enjoys it more than most anyone else I know.
I just hope he washes those lanyards. That's all I'm saying.
he's got lanyards
that go back before most children I know. You know,
yeah. Dave, great guy, funny, yeah. And he's a good guy. But yeah, they're starting to stack on him. I think he's starting to start leaning over.
Start looking, all the weight. Lanyards, yeah. I'm telling you.
And the cool thing is, every year he's gotten a little more of his tattoo done. It's not much every year, so eventually he's going to get that whole tattoo done, and it's like,
well, he's got to give you something to look forward to. You know, if you give it to you all at once, you know, you got to spoon feed it. So, yeah. Good for him.
But he's always the guy that helps with the directing of the line. Him and and the girl who always cosplays as Perceptor. I forget her. She's always in charge. One of the cosplayers.
Yeah.
One of the cosplayers. I don't know.
Oh, let's see here.
What else we got?
Oh, there was something else I was going to want to talk about, and I can't think.
Tables to go see? Specific tables?
Mine?
Aside from yours.
Oh. Capture Prey? It'll be right next to mine.
Are you going to be near Tony's table?
I don't know. They of course, don't tell us until we get there where we're going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. See,
At least I don't know. I never know. I never know until I get there.
That's another thing, though. I am reminded of the deal room. The one good thing with Pasadena is usually the deal room is pretty crazy. Like last time they had all the cars from the movie, at least relatively all the cars. And not just like, oh, hey, here's the Camaro because we could afford it. Like Sideswipe was there. You know, and that's a concept car. So that's an expensive chunk of change. So chances are we might see Drift there. Chances are we might see Stinger or the new Bumblebee or any of that. So that'll be pretty cool. That'll be pretty cool if those are there again. I'm hoping, because it's the 30th anniversary, that they're going to really try to make this the best BotCon yet. It's a lot to ask, but I'd really like it if they just really blew this one out of the water and just made it amazing.
Is Stinger, on that note, is Stinger even actually a character in the movie? Because from my understanding, or from what it looks like in the commercials, he's just a statue standing next to a car at a car dealership.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I haven't really watched all the trailers. I don't want to, because I think we're up to TV spot number 16 now on the front page of TFW. Like, there's so many different trailers now. But to my knowledge, there is a figure of him in solicitation. But that doesn't mean nothing. I mean, they make figures of everything. I mean, they made Long Arm, which was Michaela's, you know, pickup truck. So, I mean, they made figures of everything. But I don't know. The point is, it'll be cool because there's a very strong chance we'll see a lot of different cars there. I know that, again, last time we were in Pasadena, there was even a bunch of fans locally who brought their own custom G1-based vehicles. There was a guy who had a custom Toyota 1 turned into G1 Ratchet. So that was outside of the convention center. So
he also picked you up from the airport.
Oh, did I? Did he?
Yeah, we rode in it. Yeah, you could charter, or however you want to say it, charter him to come pick you up at the airport. And so we were picked up by Ratchet. It was pretty neat.
So, you know, like, there's that. It's kind of weird that they're not taking advantage of the theater next door, considering it's a movie year. I'm just hoping that this is some kind of last moment, like, hey, everyone who's a Primus package holder, we have this surprise for you. Because I really hope, because it's such a wasted opportunity to be in that location, not take advantage of the theater next door.
A lot of people have said that, but think about it. How many Primus package holders are there, and how many people does that theater seat? I don't think it would work.
It was pretty big. I was actually shocked how big it was, that theater. I was expecting it to be a lot smaller. And there is a balcony, too, with that theater. There's a second floor on top of it. So
What are Primus package about? How many people? Did they say it was close to 2,000?
Well, they didn't sell them out. So, and they usually make about, according to, there's the BlackRock website, the average BotCon. Wait, let me look that one up again. Hold on.
Because that's what I was thinking. I thought, you know, I knew that the theater was really close, and it would just be neat, since it's only a week away. Hey, let's just show you the movie.
Oh, my God, it'd be amazing.
But, and it would. But I just don't think that they could house that many people.
But once again, I don't know if you talked about it before, but there's the event on Friday night for all the Primus package holders and Minicon holders and all the ticket holders, Universal Studios.
Exactly. In all honesty, my family's coming with me this year, and I just went ahead and got them each a Primus package. Yeah. Because I figured, I could sell their box sets for what I paid for them, so they get to go to Universal Studios for free.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm going to do.
About the movie, isn't there an IMAX or something like that close proximity?
I didn't hear anything about that. No.
If it's anything like the Universal.
The past couple of years, BotCon has produced between 2,000 and 2,300 box sets each year. And on average, it says here, like in 2012, they, according to this, they sold 1,800 boxes. And this is also aftermarket on the club store and everything. 2013, they sold 2,100 box sets, and 2014, no information, obviously, at the moment. So yeah, yeah, that'd be a lot of people in that.
That's what I was saying. You're right around 2,000. I don't think that they can house it.
So let's check.
You know, and you got to remember they need to be able to if they sell 2,000 box sets and they offer this movie for everyone who's got a box set, they better be able to seat 2,000 people.
Well, it's interesting because I'm looking now here, 2011, which was a year where we all were in that theater with Michael Bay and everything. It says here 1,600 box sets were sold, 400 bag sets, of a grand total of 2,000 pieces in total for that year. I can't imagine that there was 1,600 people in the – I mean, even let's say even if you cut that in half, right? Let's say it was right away – 50% of that showed up. 800 people, really? That was like – that wasn't 800 people in there.
No, that was –
I don't – yeah, I know there were people standing.
Oh, there was?
Yeah, in the back. There were people standing, but we got there pretty early. I remember you were there. We were like right in the middle. And
suit.
Yeah, I remember that. I seem to remember there were people standing in the back, but I don't know. Can you look that up and see how many people that theater holds?
I could check actually. Yeah.
But that's what I meant. Even if going to shows the movie somehow, is there an IMAX that big? Is there another theater that big?
Oh man, I don't know.
If they're Universal, if the Universal there is anything like the Universal here in Orlando, then it's probably got a pretty big IMAX theater.
Right. That was the Saturday, right? When we went to
It was Saturday, yeah.
I was there.
That's when Bay showed up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that was just the highlight of my evening.
Come on, he's Transformers hero.
I love you, Bay! Oh my god, you're mad!
I was just waiting for his security guards to come out because I was afraid someone would go up there and try to assassinate him. Like,
no, everyone was like loving him. Around like, you guys freaking serious? Like,
I'm sorry, but if someone jumped up there and started, I'd be like with popcorn going, yeah, let's see this.
Hypocrites, dry popcorn, and some clips of guys.
Was that 2000? You said that was 2011.
That was 2011. Movie? Yeah.
Or that was the third movie.
The second one.
It was the second.
Yeah, it was the third. Yeah, they were showing clips from the third movie. Yeah.
We didn't get to see a movie.
In the 2009 year, they also again they just showed us clips. They showed us. I believe the Ravage Bumblebee fight completion.
I'm just surprised
That's right. Yeah, I'm just
surprised that anyone would cheer for Michael Bay after the second movie.
Well, yeah, that was the amazing thing. Like when he showed up, everyone. Well, no, not me. I mean, I was looking around. I was like, "Come on, guys, are you serious?" Like, you know, it's that same year. That exact same year was the year where everyone was going to go to the Hasbro. The club roundtable. Everyone was going to be like, oh, we're going to so freaking, you know, trash them and everything. And they're like, we're starting a subscription service. Here's Scourge. Woo, we love you, Fun Pub. You know, like, and everyone just totally forgot what they were going to say. Oh, we don't care about the credit cards. Steal our credit cards. We don't, you know, it's like, oh.
You know as well as I do. You know, just take a toy and dangle it in front of us. And,
yeah.
Oh, okay. It's all better now.
Yeah, totally forgot.
And you can never go wrong with Scourge.
Scourge. Oh. Yeah. But in any case. All right.
It was hilarious, too, because when that event finished at that theater, Michael Bay was leaving to get into his limo, and one of these fans just made like a beeline straight for him to shake his hand, right? And I was like, watch this, this fan's going to get tased. Watch this. And it was just hilarious because he sticks his hand out of the fan. He's like, Michael Bay, big fan, really like your stuff. And I just imagine Michael Bay when he got into the limo, he's like spraying his hand like, oh, my God, I touched one of them. This wasn't in the contract, savage.
I got cooties. Cooties.
I was supposed to be touched by one of these grimy trans fans. Yeah.
That was the same year that Steven Spielberg also got in this Hall of Fame.
Yes. He was in the
Imagine
Hall of Fame.
Imagine him showing up.
For us.
So, you're Transformers fans. That would be weird.
He'd probably show up and say, what's a Transformer?
Well,
oh, yeah, that's that project my name's tied to.
The funny thing is when he did his little speech, I remember there was something he said that was kind of belittling. I forget. He said, like, I can't believe you guys are so into this. And I was just like, motherfucker, we made you like $1 billion in revenue just from ticket sales alone. You should be kissing our penises, you know? Like, jeez, it blew my mind when he said that. Yeah. He's like, I can't believe you got it. He's like, you guys are so into this. Yeah. And he did it. He said it in such a belittling tone. And I was just like, come on, man.
With toys.
You get that sometimes from, like, a new voice actor to those sort of things, too. Where
that's
like
Bumper Robinson, the voice of animated Bumblebee. He did BotCon 2008. And then the following weekend, he was on BET, the Black Entertainment Television. He was doing an interview. And they were like, oh, we heard that you were at a comic convention, you know, and he was like, oh yeah, I did a Transformer convention, never doing that again. And he was, and it was, the clip is somewhere on YouTube. It's hilarious because he's just like, it's funny because it's like you have David Kay was there, the voice of sorry, what's her name? She's also from My Little Pony. Tara Strong.
Oh, Tara Strong.
And Tara Strong and Bumper Robinson. David Kay, seasoned, you know, nerdaholic. He knows how this thing goes down. Tara Strong, My Little Pony. I'm pretty sure she's had to deal with plenty, you know? And then you have Bumper Robinson, a guy who's done, like, you know, movies. He's done live action, comedies. Never really did much voice acting. He dabbled here and there. Boom, now he's doing a convention. Now he's doing panels. Excuse me, Mr. Bumper Robinson, could you get Bumblebee making an order in McDonald's while he's talking to Sari, and he'd just be like,
"You fucking what? Serious? Really?"
Like, those panels were so painful to watch because you have David Kay and Tara Strong. They're just smiling the whole time. Okay. You know, they're just complying to everything that's happening in the panel. There's Bumper Robinson just like, "Where the hell am I?" You know, like
what's my motivation?
What? You know, like, he was just like, are you serious? Like, and then he did BET, and he was like, it was one of the weirdest experiences of my life, and I'm never doing it ever again. Ever again. And that was it. And it's like we scared Bumper Robinson away from conventions or Transformers.
Oh, no. Now, for TFCon,
yeah,
you need to get him. Dangle a bunch of money just to get him there so we can heckle him.
Well, I'm trying to think of, like, see – the best guest that we ever had was Michael Bell, who's, like, people know him as the voice of Prowl, Sideswipe. You know, he did – I think he was Swoop too. He's like an everyman voice for G1. He's one of those guys that he's worked with everybody. He's worked with, like, every possible dude in the voice acting industry and right back to the 70s. And, man, did he have, like, the most racist-ass stories you will ever hear. I mean, I can't repeat them here, but, like, I always say the two best voice actors to get, like, really crazy stories is him and Paul Eiding, the voice of Perceptor, because Paul Eiding, he was, you know, the voice of Perceptor, and that's all he ever was, like, from G1, but he was also, like, a huge like theater and film guy and Broadway. And so he met a lot of celebrities and, like, did a lot of stuff with them. And he had the craziest stories. Like, it's just sort of like, oh, me and Jay Leno, we were getting high in the back of a taxi. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, you know? Like, it's like, those two, Michael Bell and Paul Eiding, those are the two guys, you sit them down and stay with them because they'll have the craziest stories. And Scott McNeil is cool too. But Scott, you have to get some booze in him, and you got to get him out of a public environment. Yeah, like, because he, like, at TFCon, he comes chills at the staff hotel room. So, you know, that way he doesn't have the fangirls and everything bugging him. He just he has his booze, and the more together fans, you know, the more adult fans, they're just kind of like, you know, I mean, Scott McNeil, the voice of Proto Man. And there I am just acting like, okay, whatever, Scott McNeil. Hey, Dinobot. Okay. Hey, guys, you want to see my Death Gary gun I bought? You know? Like, that was my weekend. Like, I there's photos. But the funny thing is, when you get booze in him, he really opens up. He really just goes, oh, my God, the fans that I meet, they're out of their minds. One girl offered to have sex with me right in front of a whole bunch of people in my autograph signing. You know, it's just like, okay, yeah. Had enough, Scott.
I always thought Gary Chalk was good, too.
Gary, what's cool about him is that he hangs out with people. Gary, for anyone that follows him on Facebook too, he's a very social, open kind of person. He's not someone that's kind of, you know, oh, I'm Gary Chalk, I'm a famous voice actor, I'm not going to talk to nobody. He's one of those guys at TFCon, especially anyone that was there that year knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, he busted out the guitar and did a live performance for like everyone in the bar, which was incredible. You know, like, and just, I thought he did that for like 3 hours. He was there, you know, like, he just did. And again, he's going to be here. He's going to be at TFCon again this year. Great. I'm advertising TFCon now on our BotCon.
We were going to talk about that too, because it's coming up too.
It's exactly 4 weeks away. Yeah. 1 month away.
That's right. So
that one's going to be awesome too. Not that I know anything about it, you know, but.
And nope, guess what? Guess what? We're going to do a room-to-room trading there, and we're going to be set up there also. So,
actually, how about we give you guys an exclusive right now?
Uh-oh.
I could show you the first page of the comic.
There you go. Let's see it.
All right. I'll pull that up. It's in black and white right now. Our artist didn't – so there's the first page of the comic.
Like, I can see that.
it's Shafter and Mainframe for the Action Master. And he's coming out of a CR chamber for a specific reason. That might explain why he's a masterpiece toy now. So that's all you're going to see for now. That's your little exclusive for the people who care about that. That's the first page. So there's a lot of, like, the thing with TFCon especially, there's a lot of stuff we still haven't announced yet. There's a lot of things that, because it's in Canada, there's a lot of stuff that kind of gets decided like in the last 2 weeks, which is unfortunate because we don't do it on purpose. Trust me, if we knew we were having a big guest like months in advance, we'd tell you guys, because we want people to make those decisions then for their flights, hotel rooms and everything. But sometimes, like last year, we got Marilyn Lightstone, who was the voice of Crasher from GoBots, and she did a lot of Hanna-Barbera stuff. 2 weeks before the convention, it was just like, hey, we got a GoBot voice actor 2 weeks before the convention. So it's the same thing. Like, there's always last minute stuff that we're going to be announcing and everything, just because, especially with voice actors, a lot of times you don't really know that you're getting them until maybe a month or 2 months before. BotCon has that advantage because of location, because they're in California. Us, because we're in the Great White North, to some people, it might as well be Japan, you know? Oh, Canada.
What's interesting is for many years, people kept wanting to get Frank Welker at BotCon.
Well.
And, yeah, obviously. But, you know, in the first year Peter Cullen was there, they actually were trying to get Frank to show up at the same time. But the man is literally so busy.
Well, it's not only that. We've talked with Frank's, like, off the same thing, our TFCon staff. We talked with Frank's agent. The thing is that Frank, it's not even a matter of busyness. He's very anti-convention, I guess is the word. He's actually only done probably one or two conventions in his life. And this is according to his agent. And both times that he did it, they were, like, really big events. And as a result, huge appearance fee. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, hey, TFCon could probably get Frank Welker, but we probably can't do exclusives that year. You know, like, it's just – it's one of those things where it would be – we probably could pull it off. But – and even BotCon, where BotCon, it's like, yeah, hey, we could get Frank Welker, but he probably has this list of demands and it's probably really expensive, or he probably just doesn't want to do it at all because he's very – he's very adamant on that. Same thing. Ian Corlett is another one of those. The voice of Cheetor. He did one BotCon, but in general, and we're not just talking Transformer conventions because he does anime voices and everything. He's a very anti-convention kind of person. He's someone who just does not go into those environments and sign autographs. He's not into that. So for those people, I think it was BotCon 97. It was where they had like the whole Beast Wars cast. If you went to that BotCon, you were very lucky because that's probably one of the few times Ian Corlett did any kind of big public appearances. So, but Frank is the same way. Frank is the exact same way where it's just there's certain dudes that just – there's guys like Scott McNeil that just do every convention and love being in the spotlight and love signing boobs and autographs and everything, you know. And then there's guys like Ian and Frank that are just like – they have their little private studio at home that they do their voice acting from, and they don't really go out there. Even David Kaye. David Kaye, when he does conventions, he actually gets a hotel separate from the convention center. He requests that because he wants his privacy when he comes to the convention, because Lord knows people will follow him back to his room and give them the chance to do it. So,
yeah.
Oh. And I've seen that firsthand at TFCon, you know, because we're in charge of, you know, guiding the guests everywhere, and people follow them all over the place. Fangirls, you get someone like a Scott McNeil, this man's not gonna be able to go to the bathroom, you know. It's literally, that's how bad it is for some of them, where they just get followed. You are the voice of Duo Maxwell from Gundam, you know, you are the voice of Shimamaru from, you know, Inuyasha. So it's just, it goes beyond just Transformers. It's stuff that we can't even comprehend sometimes for a lot of people.
But I think that's something we might want to just point out, is with us telling all these stories, if you're at BotCon, if you're at TFCon, if you're at any convention anywhere, make sure you respect the guests and the actors. The personal space exists no matter the situation.
I agree. Well, and I that's probably what scared Bumper off, is that – you know, like because there's a lot of people that want to go in for that hug and photo, you know, and they probably don't smell too great after 3 days of convention, you know. So
shower,
yeah.
Take a shower.
Yeah.
So
get the RC shaped soap and put it under your pit. You know, like, do something.
BotCon needs to go somewhere with a better air conditioner.
There were some years that were bad like that, but
the year they were here. In 2010 here in Orlando, that convention room was hot and it stunk.
The worst, I think, was 2008 is the record, in my opinion. 2008 was because it was the Detroit one, or not Detroit, Cincinnati. And that was a tight squeeze of funk, let me tell you. Like, I always say, Vangelis said it the best. Wet diarrhea on the carpet. But that really, like, I mean, that just summed it up so well, because that's what it smelled like. What a year. That was like, you're like, you know what? I want to get some toys, but man, I'm going to wait till it airs out a bit, you know? It's not even a matter of
it. The problem is in Cincinnati, it never airs out.
Oh,
it always smells like that.
It's America's anus.
Yeah, yeah, it's
And all the Cincinnati fans are like, oh, come on, man. We don't stink that much here.
Not that much.
Not that much. I don't know.
Well, I just happened to flip over to YouTube, and Chandler, is it Deethy?
Deethy.
Wants to know what everyone's favorite BotCon and why. Who wants to go first?
Okay, I'll let you guys go first, because I did a lot of them.
Okay.
Is this a BotCon you had to have attended?
Well, you could say that yours is because of the exclusive that you got is your favorite and you never attended. You could do that. Yeah.
I unfortunately don't have any of those exclusives either. If I could have the exclusives, though, I would have the Dawn of Futures Pass.
Exclusive. The 06 set.
But they're freaking expensive.
That's it. Out of all my sets, that's my favorite one.
Now, that was
the Beast Wars.
Kentucky? That's Kentucky.
Yes.
Okay, that's my favorite year.
That was my favorite year. And, well, of course, one of the nice things was is it was only an hour and a half from my house. That was nice. But the main reason I liked it is the set was great. And I actually got to set up it big. That was one of my biggest setups because it was so close. So for me, it was very – it was overall just a really good convention, but the kicker was I love that box set. That was a great box set.
I want that box set so bad, but it has a high aftermarket price.
Just
well, and if you look, it's one of the ones.
Oh, yeah.
Right, but it's one of the ones that's held its value. Even the shattered glass ones kind of dipped a little, and we all know about the 07 classic, you know, debacle.
Guys, you know, they're bootlegging G1 toys that have, like, millions of parts. Bootleg these ones. You know how much money they'd make?
Well, they did on the Prime. There is it's called the Double Shattered or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They redid that. And, I mean, of course, it's not as good, but it's better than paying the $350, $400
that
God,
yeah. Demands. Oh, yeah.
But I don't think anyone's done the Megatron or the
Megatron is probably the
Waspinator.
Most expensive thing of that whole year. I've seen that Megatron on eBay go for $1,300. And it boggles the mind. Because think about what you could get Transformer-wise. And I'm talking everything that's ever been made for $1,300. Lucky draws. You know, prototypes. Like, we're not even talking like – we're not even talking Diatlas or like a mint in box, like Operation Combinations, like, you know, Guard City. We're talking like $1,300. There's so many, but $1,300, a loose, no bag, no instructions, Dawn of the Future Past Megatron.
Well, and if you remember before they did the knockoff of the Rodimus, that one also was, I think it was $600.
No, yeah, the Shattered Glass one.
Yeah.
And that one actually I kind of had a hand in. Where's the test of that? I have that somewhere here. I actually had a hand in making that one with the people because they needed extra copies. And a certain someone had a few extra copies of those, so the real ones.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, it's very easy, though, to tell the difference between the fake and the real ones. They actually did something on purpose to be able to tell the difference. And same thing when they did the fake of the Wild Rider.
Wild Rider. Okay, yeah. So what's the telltale sign?
They're in the feet of the Rodimus. He has the sculpted molded detail of the rear, like, brake lights. We got rid of those completely. They're flat. And it's more of a mistake of the process of the reverse engineering. The face is not as defined as the original. And you'll actually notice it a lot more with the Wild Rider because the red really brings out the detail. And mm-hmm. So you'll notice that, like, wow, the face of the Rodimus is kind of weird looking on the Wild Rider. With the Shattered Glass one, you don't notice it because they try to replicate that facial hair. So it kind of hides the fact that it's shitty looking, the sculpt detail. But you could tell right away with the feet. The feet is the biggest telltale. I wish – I don't have it here. I have it in the other room. But I have, like, the first hard casts of it that we did, which were – they weren't that great. I just helped them because they were like, oh, we'll do color waves for you. We'll do a clear red one, a clear blue one, a clear this one. I was like, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah. They were horrible they were horrible quality. I'll be the first to say that. And you know who made those? KnockoffToys.com before they went under. Those were the guys behind it.
So who else wants to chime in with their favorite BotCon?
I will. Probably my favorite BotCon was 1994 because it was the first time I had ever seen that much stuff I did not know existed. My entire worldview opened up at that point because I was just learning about Victory, Master Force, Headmasters, and to see all these toys I didn't even know existed, to find out the history. I think that's probably the most influential BotCon for me because it basically said, I thought I had everything. I thought I knew everything. I didn't know jack.
And 94 had, like, because I know that they made approximately 200 G2 breakdowns. There was an extra four that were for staff, which at the time there was only four staff members, so there was 204 in circulation. And according to the sales of the G2 breakdown, assuming that everyone who attended bought an exclusive, the attendance was approximately about 95 people. So think about that.
Yeah, it was
very close-knit.
Very close-knit, but a lot of friendships were made. It was just a really eye-opening experience. Now, my favorite exclusive, probably it would be a toss-up between the 2001 Tigertron and RC, just because we got
that mold,
that X9 Ravage mold, and that RC, which was an excellent use of the Black Arachnia mold.
How about those two, Savannah?
And what's interesting, that was the first year that they used licensed names based on pre-existing characters.
Or the possibly as a tie, the G2 set we had a few years ago, because I just love that Generation 2 set they came out with. So, I'm about G2 a lot.
Then you're in luck, because there's plenty on the secondary market.
That's right. You can buy them all.
I have it. But it was probably RC and Tigertron as my favorite set.
Those were really good, those ones. Yeah. Really, I remember when back in the day on ATT, when there was a stolen copy of that Tigertron, and I remember a lot of people saw that online. It was on eBay, and people were like, "What is that?" And this is before we understood, like, "Oh, stuff gets stolen and then put on eBay," and we were all like, "What is this? A prototype of Ravage X9?" And then we found out afterwards that it was Tigertron. It was a cool way to be able to get that mold during a time where it wasn't easy for us to just get Japanese stuff like that.
Well, now I've got a story I'm going to tell about that. At the dinner, we're all there at the dinner, and John and Carl are up on stage, and they're talking about the exclusives for that year. Because again, we didn't know. We knew maybe a price point and a size class, and that was about it. So they're talking up on the stage, and again, for several years, I've been asking about an RC figure, as Headmaster RC, by that point. And they pull out the Tigertron.
That was you? You're the guy who asked me every year? Oh, man.
I have not asked for the last several years, because after 20 years, they know me by now, and I don't have to ask.
But so yes, you're a Headmaster RC guy. Okay. I got to make a note of that.
Oh, crap.
It's like an in-joke with the old fandom. There's always that guy who used to ask for Headmaster RC, so now I have a face with
that. That's me. So John and Carl up there, and they pull out the Ravage. We're all, like, floored. You know, we're getting the X9 Ravage. Ben Yee box art. Dan
Kahana.
Dan Kahana, thank you. I always mispronounce his last name. Gorgeous artwork. Phenomenal. And then off to the side, while Carl is speaking, John keeps doing this number with the box. He pulls it up, he drops it down, and he's looking right at me. He pulls it up, drops it down. I'm looking at him like, "What are you doing?" And then he hands it to John, Carl under the table, and it's the RC. I came up to him after the show. I said, "You sorry. You knew last year," he said, "I knew 2 years ago we were having this figure, but I couldn't tell anybody, especially you." I said, who am I going to tell? It's like we couldn't tell anybody. It's not just you. But they knew 2 years before that they were going to have that RC mold, the Black Arachnia mold as RC.
And what was cool, too, was like the Tigertron, if I remember, it was like $40 or something.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And the RC, I think, was 60, but only because it had the voice chip and everything. And
only some of them had the voice chip, too.
Yeah, the voice chip was for the pre-registrants.
That's why there was 60. The other one was cheaper. Yeah, now
Because also, Sue Blue did the voice chip for those packages.
Which, as it was sitting there on your shelf, would go off.
No one ever could figure out what triggered that. Was it light? Was it motion?
It was supposed to be light. Yeah.
But any movement would set it off.
I've heard people have them in closets in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Stored.
And just go off.
And the thing would just randomly. I mean, there's nothing in the closet being moved around, and it just, you walk by and you hear, "I'm more than just a pretty," you know, it's like, what? So yeah, that was best.
I would be amazed. I would be amazed if any of those actually still talked. I just guarantee the batteries. Really, I would think those batteries would be dead by now.
It's so garbled. You can hear it.
That's probably if I push my G2 Optimus Prime backpack, and probably like.
I'm Optimus Prime. But yeah,
good old data corruption.
Yeah, that's my favorites.
That RC is an interesting figure because they took the plate off of Black Arachnia's chest, and so she has holes where her nipples are.
Yeah, they remolded it, actually.
Because there was parent groups on – there were parent groups at the time protesting a anatomically correct female figure.
Can't have that.
So they remolded the holes that were in her chest for that piece that fit in.
Yeah, but also the fact that with that plate being able to come off, it never was labeled as a choking hazard, but it could have been.
Yeah.
So they just killed two birds with one stone at that point. But yeah, the parent group
death by breastplate.
Yeah, but there were parent groups protesting the figure because it was anatomically
no, because there's always parent groups protesting everything.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
That's true. All right. San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. What do you think?
It's awesome in concept.
Dead silence.
Like I said when I posted it on our Facebook page, what the? I don't even know what to say.
It looks like the Gem fans and the Transformer fans got together and made a box set. That's what.
Here's the worst thing. Exactly. I feel compelled to get it.
I think it's so weird that I have to get it too.
Exactly. I mean, that's one of those ones where it's not going to be displayed with anything else. It'll be over there and people will go, what the hell is that?
But it's nice to see high concept stuff like that.
You gotta talk about it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, who would have thought that that was going to come to pass? Who would have thought that they actually would have made something like that?
Because, you know, when you think 30th anniversary of Transformers and all the history and the mythos and the fiction and the toys and everything, you think 80s hair bands and Transformer Prime molds mixed with War for Cybertron, you know, like.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
I give it two thumbs up.
Yeah. And, of course, a lot of people are also drawing parallels that they're doing the whole rock thing because there is a Jim movie in the works.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. But I think we will hear more about this Jim movie at San Diego. And them having a rock themed tie-in toy, it's not bad cross marketing if you look at it that way.
I think the result of this has to also have something to do with the last 2 years. They've released an exclusive that was then wide produced.
Oh God, no! That's not going to be wide produced.
Exactly. So this time they're finally like, okay, let's give them something that's not going to be wide produced because I mean the year before
that, something that no other store is going to touch. We're not going to want it.
We had Metroplex last year. The year before you had Bruticus, and it was sort of like
Barbie section, or do we put it in the Transformer section?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do here.
I think someone at Hasbro finally realized they don't like to pay, you know, double for what is basically just getting an advanced figure before everyone else does.
Well, like I said, the one thing is it's unique, and it's not even a repaint when you think about it. It's got hair, you know, like, in a way.
Or accessories.
Way it's unique.
Yeah, and it's got hair and scarves and
in a way it's unique. I mean, I think what I'm looking forward to is more of the people who are going to be reviewing it and dressing their Transformers as they're transforming it.
Yeah. You gotta tie it.
I can't get the scarf on and his assless chaps, you know? Like, I can't imagine. It's going to be the weirdest experience with a Transformers. I mean, we were so blown away when, Megatron had a cloak for Dark of the Moon. You know, now we got a full-on, Slash from Guns N' Roses,
We got five more Transformers
outfit going on, So
we got four more Transformers with hair that can finally join Mott Kick on the shelf of hair of
and
Transformers
the
with hair.
From Cobots. that's the only other line I can think of. And the Gnarlies didn't even transform. It's so weird. It's so out there. Because again, when you think about past SDCC exclusive, you had those G.I. Joe Transformer stuff. You had the Metroplex. You had the alternate Rodimus at one point. They'd always do a black repaint of an Optimus mold, whether it be the classics or the alternator one. Also, they did Mighty Mug stuff. It was always kind of no brainer exclusives. Most of them, they were always kind of like, yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that'll work. And then it's this one. This is the one that's just like, I don't know what they were thinking. Every single thing they've done, even a Mighty Mug Prowl, you go, I could see that selling. People would buy that. There's people that like Prowl. There's people that like Mighty Mugs. This, it's just like, who are they going for?
But you know what?
That's
going to
be an expensive box set, too. Yeah, that's not going to be
cheap. 10 years from now, the Mighty Mug Prowls and the Rodimuses and the Bruticus, no one's going to even give a crap about them.
Of course.
They're going to say, look at this freaking weird set that they brought out.
I don't know. I can't make that prediction yet. I can't predict that going one way or another just yet. I think that's one of those things I have to see how it does first, because usually with SDCC, you have the guys who are actually Transformer fans that show up and buy the exclusives. And then you kind of have, because again, it's not a Transformer convention.
Yeah,
it's everything.
Scalpers.
You have the scalpers too, but you usually – it's going to be expensive, this one. That's the thing. Yeah. So because it's going to be expensive, the people that will be buying it, you'll have the hardcore Transformer fans that are lining up the Hasbro toy booth to get it. And then you're going to have the stores who are looking to buy stuff to resell, but they're going to look at this one and go, what the F is this? You look at a Metroplex and you go, okay, I might not know a lot about Transformers, but that's a big Autobot city. And it looks pretty in this big box. This one, they're going to look at it and go, was this from the movie? A lot of people are going to be like, where do I go with this? So I'm curious how the sale of this is going to be, because it's five figures or something?
It's four figures, I believe.
So, you factor in that they're deluxes, four figures each. We didn't have a reveal of a price, but I mean, if Metroplex at his size and his pricing and everything was $150 American at SDCC, this might be $120, $130, considering the zombie cliff jumper was $40.
Well, how much was Bruticus? Because he's only one figure more.
But Bruticus wasn't something with unique mold. The Cliff Jumper had that special head with it, and it was a unique mold at the time. Anyhow, the Bruticus was something that was engineered 50 times over from that point. They weren't worried about losing money in this case. Yeah. So, I mean, and he didn't really even come in that fancy a box. He just came in a standard size. If you look at the they did a Grimlock Bruticus 2-pack. It's no bigger than that one. So,
it is six figures. I forgot about the animated Rat Bat and animated.
Well, there you go. It's honestly, that's going to be an expensive thing. It's going to be really expensive, and it's going to be one of those things that the casual people and the people who don't really know Transformers that much, and the stores and the guys who are looking to scalp, they might skip this one because they're like, I don't know if there's a market for it. I mean, I dig it. I think it's so crazy that I want it. But that's me.
The one good thing is there's nobody that can try to sue them this year for that.
Oh, yeah.
They probably got sick of Dylan Harmony Gold last year.
You're going to have Survivor come out of nowhere from doing, the Rocky movies going that's based off of me in music video number six. No. Who knows? Or are you going to have Journey coming after them?
I still think Hasbro baited Harmony Gold out on that one so that we could get Jetfire this year.
Yeah, I think they did too, because no one goes to Courtwood Harmony Gold and then pulls off that Jetfire. And the thing is, that Jetfire, I knew about that very early because the people who were working on the box art showed me the box art and the grays of those a while back. And that was actually the images that were leaked online afterwards were those same ones, those same images, although they didn't have the black backgrounds, they had white backgrounds. And that was maybe 2 months after the Harmony Gold thing. And I think we lost Megamus. He's dead.
Yeah. Do we? Yeah, we're still live, at least for the moment.
We're still live. Don't worry, people. It'll be back to transform your day into an adventure.
Thank you, Tommy Kennedy.
Yeah. Meeting him, and there's another weird guest at BotCon. Jeez. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the man is an urban legend.
He literally is, and only because point. He didn't list his name properly. That's all it was, yeah. You know.
But I mean, if you watch it's technically known as, everyone calls it season five, is what
season
they call
five.
It. Yeah. If you watch that Power Master Prime Puppet with the videos, I mean, and that's the one. That's the only time they ever aired was that one. I don't even know if it was even in reruns anywhere.
The problem was that was the time where Transformers almost got canceled because during that first run they played the movie in parts.
Yeah.
And it was considered violent, and a lot of stations were actually pulling Transformers at that point because they were showing the movie, which had some, you know, breaking Sharkticon jaws and killing, you know, characters. None of that stuff was cut out, and the death of Prime, of course, you know, yeah. Starscream. So, because I remember that was an issue back then.
Yeah, but you can turn Prowlin's kids into a throne, and there's no problem.
Yeah, seriously. that's a whole other story. He's back.
I think that's back in VHS.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. Doesn't even know what we're talking about. Gotta love it.
No, I just said, yeah, I heard he's back.
He's back.
Wonderful computers. I love it.
Au contraire, mon capitaine. He's back.
All right. So before we, since we seem to be winding down on convention stuff, before we wrap up or anything, what do you guys think of Hasbro muddying up what is already confusing enough as it is, Transformers Robots in Disguise?
I'm setting the standard right now. We're going to be calling it RID 2.0. I already started that on Twitter because, you know what? I was scrolling through the news and I saw the title, Voice Actor Picked for Robots in Disguise. And right away my brain got it almost glazed right over it because I was like, comic? Car robots? You know, toy line?
Yeah.
This is the thing that has bothered me with the past couple of years with Transformers now, and it started with Energon. Because first we got Transformers Armada, and everyone's like, ha, 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 and his Armada. We're making that connection. All right, mild. Then we had Transformers Energon. Okay, you're using something that's pre-established in the continuity as the title. Then Transformers Cybertron. Okay, you're taking the name of the planet and using it as a title. Transformers Animated, because it was never animated before, right? Transformers Prime. Yeah. You know, like, and I hate it because when you have conversation, hey, did you see Prime? What, the toy, the show, the character? You know, like so it's now it's going to be the same thing. Hey, did you see RID? The original?
Which one?
Toy line?
Yeah.
Did you read the comic? You know? So it's like when they did Perfected Universe 2.0 to separate it. So I'm saying the same thing right now. This is RID 2.0. Make it a standard. I want it fucking retweeted everywhere because that way I don't get confused when people go, I really liked Hotshot in RID, and they're not talking about a freaking spy changer. You know? Yeah. Because it's going to be –
I mean, they
be-
already made it confusing enough when they called the original Transformers Prime line Transformers Robots in Disguise.
But there's more to meets the eye. Was
and
the
we already had to call it PRID.
Oh, PRID. Know?
God. It was like, now it's just like, come on, Hasbro.
PRID.
Can you be more creative?
I want more PRID. you know. No, but that's I mean that's why. So RID 2.0. I'm gonna tweet RID 2.0 right now. RID 2.0. Fuck it. There we go. Done. It's out there. It's in the wind now. Yeah. Because it's just that's so unoriginal. You know, like out of all the things, I understand from a marketing standpoint, they just want to do something that they know works. You know, people know robots in disguise, you know, but it's just we're doing another show. We're doing another continuity. Do something else. Transformers Battle Lock. Just throw another one of your licensed names at it, you know. Ice Pick, you know, geez, whatever.
Transformers Ice Pick.
Yeah, whatever. Just look at one of your registered names that haven't been used and just throw it in there, you know. But just that's so under – like that is – short of it just calling it Transformers Generation 1, that would probably be the worst thing. If they would have called it Transformers Generation 1 just to totally screw with everyone from that point, then there's no way in hell we'd be able to know what we're talking about. Hey, did you see Transformers Generation 1, the original, or the 2014 yeah. one?
Yeah. They, you know, being that they're going with the animation style that they use in My Little Pony, they should just call it Transformers Friendship is Magic.
That's, you know what, I'm not going to judge that until I, because it's, well, you know what, I was the same way when I saw animated, when we got that first still, that first like poster of Optimus doing this, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know, yeah.
I was pretty harsh on it. I was like, wow, that looks kind of shit. But I ate my words. Animated was great. The animation wasn't too bad for what it was. So this might be awesome, but at the same time, it might be some dope.
I've been fine with the designs because they're very animated looking with a little mix of Prime in there and a little bit of mix of like War for Cybertron in there. So I've really liked them because I like those other designs. But it's like that flash animation style thing where it looks like they're
And it's very like, late that flash animation style too, because all you have to do is watch Rescue Bots to get an idea of how that's used in action.
And 7 points of articulation.
Yeah, that's the part that kills me because the characters don't emote properly because they have like preset, you know, body types and stuff. So that's going to be a step down because it's like it's not 2D animation. But it's not 3D either. It's this weird in-between that's used for shows like 16 and Mallrats and like shows that aren't action-based, shows that could get away with it being like that. Or even it's another one that used to use that. Foster's and His Imaginary Friends. You know, shows that don't need to have heavy frame rates and stuff like that because of their simplicity. But yet shows like SpongeBob could have – such intricate animation and really detailed animation when it really needs to. But yet Transformers can't cut a break with that. That seems like a really economical route that they're taking, which is bizarre. I hope I'm wrong. I would love it if I was wrong and this is all going to turn out great. But so far, based on previous stuff, another one, My Life Me, that's another show on television that uses that style. Again, it's all these like teenage kid shows that don't have action in them. But now we're going to have shooting scenes. Now we're going to have action scenes that are supposed to be exciting and believable or transformations. And you look at Rescue Bots, how they handle transformations. It's literally like layers of flash animation collapsing on itself. Yeah. Like it's not even complex. It's not even interesting.
They can just go the Energon route where they just pop up.
They were animated models. Granted, Energon, its biggest flaw was because it was what I like to call Japanese CG, which is they're not – the Japanese are great at animation, but they suck at CG. They're not there yet for good CG like Americans are, like Pixar and Mainframe. So when Energon came out, all the characters had one face. They had this face. That's the only face they had. They had that one face that just open and closed mouth. There was no everyone had the same reactions. If they were sad, angry, happy. And
basically dull surprise for everybody.
And everyone, and luckily I have an Energon mold here. It's not it, but it's the wrong. And everyone walked like this. Everyone floated when they walked. Because it was 2D on 3D, it didn't look like the characters had gravity to them. So when they walked, it looked like they were ice skating. Wherever
but there
they
was
were
that one episode where they decided that their 3D animation was so crappy that they actually did cell animation.
Two episodes.
And that episode was awesome.
It was actually two episodes. It was Death of Inferno, where they had to do certain scenes where Inferno was actually emoting, like death and everything. Yeah. So they used cell animation for those close-ups of his face when he got stabbed by Megatron and when Megatron was yawning at one scene. And then the other episode you're referring to is actually the last episode. The very last episode, the final battle between Megatron and Optimus, all of a sudden it's all 2D animation. And, yeah. And it was like really good 2D.
It's like
animation.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden it goes from really crappy 3D animation to like
the budget
almost,
is all
almost
there.
Top of the line like Japanese anime.
Well, like I like to call it stock footage animation, where it's like you put all the money into that.
Yeah.
You have the really good stock footage, and then the rest of the animation around the. It's like Energon was like that. Not Energon, Armada was like that. The transformation sequences had really good animation to them, but the animation for a majority of the series, and I'm talking the Japanese one, the American one was a goddamn disaster. But because for anyone that knows that story, what we got is not what it was supposed to be. Let's just put it that way. It was all incomplete stuff, and they've yet to. Anyways, jump in. Someone wanted to jump in?
Go, Bryce.
Yeah.
Red Blue Labels was...
Sorry,
go ahead. A couple weeks back, Red Blue Labels did a giveaway for a Deathsaurus label set to convert Beast Hunter's Darksteel into a Deathsaurus. I've got a set here. They have been out for a while. And first person to comment on the thread in the Facebook group, I'll mail them to him completely free.
Pretty sweet deal.
There you go.
Don, you had something to say?
Don, do you have something?
No, Massey was attacking my arm and it hurt.
All right.
That was emoting pain because there were claws digging into my arm.
All right. Well, does anyone else have anything else to add for this episode?
Anyone?
Basically, just from a long-time BotCon goer, everyone, when you get there, keep your common sense, watch your surroundings, have
shower.
Fun.
Shower.
Shower a couple don't times a day, even.
Yeah. Yeah. The hotel gives you free soap, free towels, free all of this. You can take it home after, you know?
Yeah.
Use it.
And that's don't right. Be a jerk to the guests.
No one likes to be in a funk sandwich where you're standing in line, the guy in front of you smells, the guy behind you smells, and you're like, no escape.
Yeah. Bad times. Yeah. But. Well, as we've said, BotCon is next week. A couple of us, more than a couple of us, will be there. I don't know about you guys, but if you see me out there, you can stop, say hi. You know, you never know. Might come up with something, a free giveaway or something. I don't know. I might come up with something. Maybe have something in my pocket to give you. That's right.
Don't stick your hands
in your pocket?
Don't stick your hands
it's
in
down low. It's down low and to the left.
Yeah. Don't stick
your pocket.
That's right. You never know.
That's messed up, man.
But as we've said before, Mega Toy Fan is going to have their parts party. Capture Prey is going to have their third party party. We're going to be on the same floor, hopefully. So just look for the in the lobby is usually where they put the bulletin board, and we'll post on Facebook and on TFW.
Where did they put the bulletin board last time? It was next to the bar, no?
Yeah, that was right by the lobby.
Yeah, it was right at the check-in, if I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then 1 year they put it like right outside the dealer room, which was down the hall. So, I mean, sometimes you got to go looking for it. So.
Yeah.
But and like I said, we'll make sure that you know when and where. So, but does anyone have anything else for BotCon or anything else we've discussed other than taking a shower?
No, that's an important thing.
That's it.
That's don't right. Make sweat and Old Spice.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, deodorant, it doesn't cut a good shower. I'm sorry.
It's you have to realize it's California. It's going to be a little hotter than probably where some people. Good example right here, you know, so. Antiperspirant is the you have deodorant that masks. Get antiperspirant that controls.
There you go.
Go to Walmart and ask your fellow Walmart worker. They will help you and guide you to the right direction.
Alrighty. Alrighty, well, I think this wraps another one up. Appreciate everyone chiming in and joining us. I'm Megamus, and join us again next week.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.